When you're leading your busy day, running through meetings, trying to figure out what to do with your family, thinking about the pressure from the board or your frontline manager, the question I have for you is, how much time in a day do you take to reflect or ponder or ask yourself a question before you react or take that next action? I know early in my career, I did not pause and I did not notice, and I certainly did not choose to reflect. I went from back-to-back meetings, and I've learned over the time of my career that that's a big mistake. And that's why I'm so excited to have our guest here today to talk to you about some of the tools that he's even showed me to use to pause, reflect, and then actually elevate my energy to resource myself to make better decisions faster. So lean on in today to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie, everybody. We're going to talk to you about this, the changes cards, the deck created by our guest today, Michael Dietrich Chastain. Welcome to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie.
Lisa Durie, so good to be here with you. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited for this day, Michael. We've been talking about this for a while because for anyone listening in, I wanted to give these card decks out to our clients because they've been so useful in our own business. So I messaged Michael and was like, hey, what do you think of this? And he's like, yeah, you can totally do that, but why don't we do something even more and we'll host an event for your community? And I said, well, then let's do a podcast too. We can't just keep it to the clients. We got to share it with the world. So what started with a WhatsApp message is turning into this right here, right now. And I think it's just such a testament to helping each other rise and co-creating together. So thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I agree. It is a testament to collaboration and also a testament to maybe the spirit of abundance thinking. You know, knowing that you and I are in the same industry, we're serving in a lot of the same kind of ways with leaders, teams, and cultures around the globe. And yet there's, you know, there's enough need out there, as we know, far beyond the capacity of you and I to deliver on. And so knowing that, it's like, well, let's just support each other in every way we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Abundance, generosity. I love this so much. So we're going to talk about the cards. And I think through that's going to have some abundance, generosity. But let's get to the 50,000 foot level for the busy leader who's going to give their time to this episode right now. Why did you create these cards? And, you know, what's the origin story of these tools that I'm using regularly now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the origin story is that the cards came from a book, and the book came from a question. And the question I was asking myself years ago was, what are the contributing factors that will tell us how to create change in our life? Whether we're a leader that's trying to improve team performance, or we're trying to improve communication, or we're trying to improve a health habit, or we're trying to improve, you know, our relationships. My belief is that, and there's a lot of research to support this, is that being good at change is a meta skill that has a trickle down effect to everything else. So my invitation is, get better at figuring out not only how to manage change, but how to create it. And if we can do that, it has a positive consequence on everything else. And so when I was asking that question, what are the facets that contribute to this ability to manage change and create it? That's what birthed the book, called Changes. And from there, the question deck came as a product of that. And so in the book, there are these seven, we call them pillars, that influence our ability to create and manage change. And those pillars are essentially aspects of our lived experience. And so the card deck follows those same seven pillars, but in the form of questions. And so my belief, Lisa, and I think you probably share this as well, is that, you know, questions are one of the most helpful tools we have, not only as leaders, but as people. And if we can get better at asking more interesting, provocative, deep questions, that sends us on a trajectory to better results. And so this card deck is a set of interesting questions.
Oh, Michael, this is, yeah. Okay. First of all, when I think about the world that we're in right now, which is labeled permacrisis for some, others, it's brittle, anxious, nonlinear, incomprehensible, Bonnie.
Right.
And we're all riding the wave. It's constant change.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you say, you know, how do you manage change or create it? It's almost like flipping the script. Instead of change happening to you, how do you make the highest and best right decision for whatever is needed and necessary, as well as what your future visions are. So when you were talking about like creating change and even health habits, how many leaders do we know right now and, you know, suffering from massive stress that they think is just going to go away tomorrow and it's not, and they need to figure out how to get in front of it and change their own priorities and boundaries, much less these business leaders deciding on what's more important, revenue or profits, and how many people do we keep on our teams? So I love this because everybody can use these tools.
Yeah. And yeah.
I'd like to share a quick story if I could, because I think it'll land for people. And I'm going to use So if you're on video, I'm going to show you the cards. There they are, everybody. Yeah. And if you're not on video, we'll take a picture of it for you. But we had to take, my family and I took a long car drive from Oregon to Arizona. Now, let's just say that's 3 days if you don't want to, you know, drive all day and all night, especially with a dog and an 11-year-old in the car with you. And my husband and I got the DVDs ready. My daughter had her journal and her, you know, videos and stuff, but I brought the deck. So I said, hey, honey, what do you think? Why don't we just pull a card? And Michael, it was like going on a retreat. So we would pull a card and we actually pulled two each time. And we would be like dealer's choice. Like you could choose which card you wanted to reflect on. And a lot of times we didn't even look at the cards. We just went with what felt good, kind of close your eyes.
Nice.
We would drive 7 to 8 hours a day and we never turned the radio on. And the conversation was that rich.
Mm-hmm.
And just focusing on, you know, there was like a nourishment card about, you know, how, when you feel well rested, what, you know, describe that. It was something along those natures. And then there was a guts card about, you know, if you, what's one thing that if you're scared to do, but you need to do it anyway. I'm making it up because I don't remember the exact words.
That's great.
I just want to say that while we're talking about this in a business context, you can use this at home. You can use it in the car. You can use it by yourself on a, you know, a meditation walk. So I think there's so much use here. I think what you've created is a gift to the world. And I mean that like at the depth of my soul, because I experienced it myself, even just with my husband in a car ride.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And I'm so glad. Like those are the stories that are my favorite, you know, and we hear stories certainly from businesses and teams, like how they've leveraged the tool to create better strategy or better connection or new insights and what to do in their business. But I really love the stories like that, you know, or the couple that says, gosh, we've been together for, you know, 20 years and these questions brought new insight to us about, you know, an aspect of each other that we didn't know about. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I'm glad y'all had fun with it. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I even took pictures of it and started putting them on Facebook. I thought, let's inspire other people. So I have some of those. But
there you go. Cool.
So when you think about this in a team environment, so yes, I can give the personal example, right? Mm-hmm. I have been on in experiences with you where you've done this with a team. And I know there's different cards here for different reasons. But for those people who don't have a deck in front of them, I do believe you can still get a lot out of this conversation. And then you'll go get your deck when you want to. But fundamentally, what's the lowest hanging fruit for someone to just the power of a question? Is there one card in here that's your favorite, that's your go-to, or perhaps one pillar that you is on your mind these days that you want to double click on and explore?
Yeah, gosh. Well, I think that one of the powers of, you know, a series of questions used in a group is the unlocking of the wisdom in that group. And so to me, it's sometimes more about, you know, you infuse this tool and then you allow the group to kind of spiral up with their thinking, their creativity, and their answers, which is maybe less about an individual question and more about the shared experience of the group. So that's part of where my mind goes. You know, I think that I could make the argument around each of the seven and why they're so important right now. So I don't know if I have a favorite, and I certainly get asked that question a lot. Mm-hmm. I will say this though, in my experience of doing these with, you know, many, many teams in many, many environments, there is probably one of these pillars that a team is challenged by or has strength in. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'll give you an example. The nourishment pillar is all about how we take care of ourself, right? How are we moving? How are we sleeping? How are we giving ourselves nutrition?
Yep.
And so the application to a team environment around that pillar might be the question around how are we nourishing ourselves individually that's influencing our productivity, our creativity, our effectiveness, our communication. Sometimes teams really struggle with that. They really struggle with nourishing themselves so that they can show up as their best mm-hmm. with their group. And the other thing I'll say around that one specifically, Lisa, and I wonder if you run into this too, sometimes there's a what I would say like an ignorance around the connectivity between nourishment and performance.
Yes.
Right. And yes. what we know from all the different sciences, from organizational development to sociology to psychology to studying workplace teams, like there is a ridiculous amount of evidence which points to the fact that when we are nourished individually, everything else goes up. Our creative thinking, our productivity, our ability to manage stress, our ability to connect with one another. And the opposite is also true. When we ignore our nourishment, our ability to do all those things I mentioned declines. Lisa, did I lose you? Lisa, did I lose you? I lost audio.
I got you. Yeah, it's great. You said declines and then we had it froze. No, I got you. Are you still there? Do I got you?
I did. I paused for a second. I imagine.
I loved it. Yeah. And it was like a whole, like, if we're not nourishing, are all of these things decline? Pause. It was like, everyone's leaning in now. It was perfect. Like, wait, is there more? Because yes, there is. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to join you for a second on this. And I want to say my personal experience when I had Silicon Valley-itis and the doctor put me on the medical leave, nourishment was how I rebooted from burnout. Mm. And that was sleep, hydration, food choices, quietness, reflection, right? And you and I have talked about having a practice, right? And how having a practice can really make a difference. So I would say on my own journey, yes. And I also know with all of the different corporations and clients that we work with, the wellness movement right now, we could easily relabel as nourishment, I think.
100%.
It's nourishment, right? Agreed. And so, it's not just the yoga class. It's really helping people understand sleep hygiene and understanding, how to resource yourself. And that sometimes that power nap is actually better than just pushing through.
Yeah.
I saw this thing on the, I saw a picture the other day on a news article, and it was the Twitter headquarters, and there was an employee in a sleeping bag on the floor.
Wow.
And, there's still this glorification of whatever it takes at all costs, right? And I want to say, go pull a nourishment card, because it's not whatever it takes. That's the opposite of what you're going for. If you want performance, you want resilience, you want bottom line results. It's not sleeping in a sleeping bag in a conference room floor at work.
Right. Yeah. It gets back to the same challenge around the ignorance of what is it that creates results? Mm-hmm. What is it that creates results, right? We're always asking that question as leaders or as team members. There are very clear practices on what it takes to create the highest level of results and things that we know that will deteriorate results. And one of those things is around how we nourish ourselves, of course. But I think it's part of the explanation for that. And my experience is like, the culture, the general culture of business has not caught up to the science.
Say that again. That's a mic drop.
Yeah. The culture, the business culture in general. Now this is generalizing, right?
Yeah.
But the business culture in general has not caught up to the science of performance.
Dude.
Because I was with a group yesterday and we were having this conversation. It was a team. And I was telling them that if you have any question about motivation or engagement or communication or effective leadership or effective teamwork, there's no question around any of those things that has not clearly been defined and answered. Like there's no mystery anymore. and we tend, like, as sometimes as leaders or as team or as a C-suite trying to understand like a really large ecosystem, I think the tendency sometimes is to think that those answers are not out there and we have to figure it out. That's not true. The answers are there. Like there is definitive proof for, anything around really the human dynamic in the workplace. There are clear answers to what creates performance and what deteriorates performance. It's just a matter of you know, connecting with people that understand that science and that can bring it in and teach it in effective ways, like I know you're doing, Lisa.
Oh, Michael. Okay. So let's pause for a second. Let's just bring in a little bit of your background, because I think that's going to be important to inform the next part of our conversation. I mean, you are your journey to who you are today and what informed these cards and this book, I'm just so inspired by. And I think that it's really important to presence that right now. So, you know, how do you answer the question when people say, Michael Dietrich Chastain, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Well, who am I? I'll tell you this. This is maybe an unexpected answer. One of the things that I've been most fascinated by in the last maybe 2-3 years has been the idea of conscious business or conscious leadership, conscious team development, this intersection between business and development of consciousness. So I know that doesn't answer who I am, but it's a topic that I'm feeling really excited about.
I think it's of course, this is a topic you're excited. Look at what you're doing. You're elevating consciousness through your tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So if I tie it back, there was something I read, cause I've known you for a while. So I was, but something I read in your book, I was listening to the audiobook, something I heard in your book, you had two sentences. It was, I invite people to explore the complexity of who we are and to embrace that each facet is connected. Mm. So that right there is who you know, those two sentences explain a lot about what drives you and how you show up in the world.
Yeah.
Right. But you're also a business leader. And you also have a background in, is it psychotherapy? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. My whole career has been spent in human development in some capacity, which is probably why I'm, you know, so fascinated with this question of change and this question of development of consciousness as it relates to, you know, a particular system. In this case, the system we're talking about is business or team performance, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, the short story is out of undergrad, I worked in corporate for a little while and then went back and got a master's in counseling and then eventually a license and then practiced as a psychotherapist for a number of years and in all sorts of systems, from the community to private practice, leading teams of therapists, working in the hospital system, the jail system. So I saw human change in a lot of contexts and then made a pivot back to corporate about 10 years ago now. And have been in this space of training and development and supporting, you know, the improvement of systems in the workplace. And that's what I'm excited about today.
It's so awesome because here's the thing that I know is that business is driving the world, right? And so you are in the nucleus, you are in the ecosystem of the nucleus, which is actually changing the world either for good or not. And so we need more Michael Dietrich Chastain in there doing the things, right?
Oh man,
Really excites me whenever I see anything that you're doing. I'm always liking it and sharing it and trying to promote it because I know that the work that you're doing is just so important.
Yeah,
you know, I was wondering about. It's kind of a funky question, I think, but I always just go with my gut and my heart. So the question is really, when you think about change, I heard this quote. And I don't know who to attribute it to. And I love giving people credit. So please bear with me as I get this quote out. It was that people don't fear change. They fear loss.
Mm, yeah.
Have you heard that quote before?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know. I think I have heard it. I don't know who it is.
You have a stance on it or an opinion 100%. About hearing that?
I have a strong stance on it.
I'd love it. Bring it.
So one of the reasons that I think, and there's science to support this, but this isn't my idea necessarily, but my frame on it would be people don't like change or they don't like loss because part of how we're hardwired as a species, right, is to be looking for unconsciously answering the question, am I safe? Mm-hmm. We're always looking to address that. Am I safe? Right. Which, you know, people aren't asking that outwardly. Right. But they want consistency. Right. We want consistency in our jobs, in our relationships, knowing that we've got money coming in, knowing that we've got food on the table, knowing we've got shelter. Right. At an instinctual level, that answers the question, am I safe? So any kind of change is disruptive to that question because it's inconsistent with what has previously been predictable. And that is a loss, right? The loss is it's a change in what's been predictable. And so that loss comes with fear because now I have to ask that question again. Okay, am I safe? right? And you know, the triggers for what disrupts our, you know, our thinking and our feeling around safety are different than, of course, they were thousands and thousands of years ago, right? Things like an angry email or an angry boss or an angry partner or an accident that maybe we were in or an illness that we're facing, right? These are disruptive changes that also get us to ask that same question, am I safe? So I think change and loss is absolutely the same thing we're wrestling with.
Yeah. So this is, okay, one of the things I talk about a lot in the keynote speeches I do or the workshops we run is this always on, never good enough, will replace you tomorrow, which really is about feeling safe, right? So the tech organizations have all this pressure all the time between revenue and profit, right? Shareholder value. The people in the system are always like, am I going to have my job tomorrow? If I try and take a vacation or God forbid, I want to leave early to go see my kid's soccer game, right? Like whatever. Sure. And so there's this underlying lack of safety that, you know, is in the system and running around. And so I wonder, could we use that as an example and maybe pull a card or two and just show people how they might unlock this wisdom and create a place for them to get into a creative versus a reactive mode and resource themselves to feel safe even in the moment?
Yeah.
That's a gift to everybody.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. So there's a couple different things we could do. I'd love to show you an activity that a team could institute really around asking themselves and each other better questions. And I'll preface this by saying I've not done this one live before. So if whoever's watching is going to get a sneak peek into something new. We just did this yesterday with a group, but I've never done it over Zoom.
In a podcast.
Yeah, in a podcast. So I'm gonna try and talk through the instructions without having you here with me in person.
Okay.
So one of the ways we use this deck is, again, there's all these questions. In a team environment would be, and actually this what I'm about to describe is in the card deck itself. It's called, actually I'll show it to you. It's called Meaningful Meetings. See if you can find that. I'll find it too.
Is it a yellow card or an orange?
A yellow card. Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Meaningful meeting. Okay. So if you're looking, here, everybody, it looks like
there good. You go. So right?
It's a yellow card with five people. Okay. Meaningful meetings.
Yeah. So this says, I'm just going to read the instructions for folks. Right? So you shuffle the deck, you bring the deck to weekly meetings.
Yep.
And again, these are the blue cards, which are the question cards, these guys, right?
Yep.
So you bring these to meetings. You have, for one quarter, have your team pick a card at random and spend 5 minutes discussing the question to kick off the meeting. Consider how the answer to the question impacts current purpose, progress, or performance. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play a team member.
Okay.
And we're going to draw a card at random.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we can translate this question into how it might impact profit, performance, or purpose.
Rad. And
how's that sound?
I love it, because here's the thing. Everyone's having team meetings. We all know the data on these things. There's no reason you couldn't incorporate this right away. Just saying, double dog dare people. Okay.
And we do. We have clients that every meeting they have, they use this for 10 minutes as a way. Now, there's various activities. This is one of many activities, but they'll use the various activities to, again, analyze performance, connect more deeply with each other, answer strategic questions, right?
I love it.
Okay. So here's what we'll do, Lisa. I don't know what card you're going to choose, so I'm going to hopefully think well on my feet here. So go ahead and choose one of the blue cards at random. And
So I'm going to put my camera on so people can see. So I have them by grouping. So I'm going to close my eyes because I don't know what order they're in. Like, I want to go all in, like not knowing a thing. Okay.
I love it. That sounds great.
So I'm going to close my eyes. Okay. You can't see that my eyes are closed. I'm going to go here.
All right.
Am I on a blue, Michael?
You're on a blue. Go for it.
I'm on a blue. I'm going in the middle even.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's
see. I've got spirit.
Okay.
Oh,
Michael. Heavy duty.
Okay. Here's the question.
Huh?
I'll put it on the screen too. What is a belief that you have now that you did not have 10 years ago?
Yeah. So Lisa, let's think about this. If we pulled this in a team meeting, now the immediate reaction people might have is, well, what does that have to do with team? but I think you and I know better. So we'll help unpack
it. We know better. It's not about tomatoes. This is not about tomatoes. Yeah.
That's right.
I hate tomatoes. Now I love them, but yes.
So someone might begin. Now the whole team is going to discuss this question. So someone might begin by saying, you know, I've only been on this team a couple years, but one of the things I noticed when I first started is that, you know, we had the belief as a team that, you know, we were going to reach this particular goal. And I noticed that for like a lot of reasons, we only reached half of that marker. And so I'm wondering where that belief about our own capacity went to, because it was different a couple years ago. Mm. And then another person who's been there a long time might say, you know, gosh, I've been here for 15 years. And 10 years ago, I noticed that the belief we had then is that the kinds of people that we would hire and bring into our team, we did not sacrifice anything around our standards. And I think, you know, over the course of time, we've been busy and there's been various things that have happened. We've changed our standards around like who we invite into the company. And I think we need to revisit that belief that, you know, we need to revisit our belief and our standards for who we invite into our company. So those are just two examples of a way to think about what's a belief that's different now than maybe it was a long time ago. And so I want to kick it to you, Lisa. If you were imagining you're on a team, how might you think about framing that question related to the team's effectiveness? How would you think about that?
Yeah, what the first thing that comes to mind is this a belief that I have now that I did not have 10 years ago is that you can be effective working remotely.
Love it.
Right? You can be effective working remotely. It requires intention, a different skill set. You got to have all the tech figured out. It's possible. And, you know, 10 years ago, no way, right?
Yeah.
Got to be in person. That would be one. And the second thing I would say is that another belief that I have now that I didn't have 10 years ago has to do with the invisible workload that is on the overachievers and how they're, it's just expected that the overachievers want to keep giving more and more and more, and really unpacking what are the drivers and the real strengths and the care abouts of those people who just have a stronger capacity than others might. Because what I'm really starting to help people believe and understand is more around the uniqueness that we all bring, and that there's things going on in everybody's life that aren't being talked about. And so we're being held in this bubble instead of really bringing our hearts in to understand what everybody's navigating. So maybe a belief is that, you know, you treat everybody the exact same way.
Yeah.
You know, probably my HR background about making sure we have accommodations and privacy and, you know, all that. And it's like, wait a minute, everybody has needs. So I'll pause there and just see what shows up.
I love it. So, you know, I'm looking at the clock now. In 2 minutes, we landed on the topics of, you know, standardizing or up-leveling our kind of criteria for our hiring process. We talked about remote work. We talked about, you know, capabilities then versus now. We talked about leaning into like people's strengths and gifts and you know, how to treat people effectively. And so just in a few minutes, we've uncovered a handful of topics that what would happen and what does happen in this environment using these questions is that the team will lean into some of those topics, right? Mm-hmm. They'll offer their responses and then one or two of them will be like, gosh, we really need to talk about, you know, our stance around remote work, which I get is a very common thing right now, but in just a few minutes, they land on this really strategic, important topic that maybe they weren't quite thinking of before, but then they realize, gosh, we've got a lot of energy around this. Let's make a plan to talk about it in, you know, the next meeting or whatever it is. And so just in a few minutes, this, this kind of like creative emergence of thinking can really expand like the direction of what the team wants to talk about. And it helps expose like, what's the thing that the team needs to grapple with in order to improve its effectiveness. And so I just want to highlight how fast we landed on really interesting ideas in, you know, just a few minutes.
Yeah. And I'll highlight too, cause you know, tech, and we just pulled a card called the spirit. They're like, what? Are you asking about my religion? Like, no,
Yeah, yeah.
Ask about your beliefs, like who you are as a human being on this planet and what consciousness level you're at and what you might want to let go of or bring forward. I didn't know I was pulling a spirit card, by the way. I just love that it's spirit, because you could also look at it like team spirit or essence. Yeah. Right? And what do you want to embody as a as an organization? There's way more to it than just one word that you might tie a label to. And I think that's really important.
100. Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting thing about these questions too, right? Like you and I are a good example. Like we answered that question very differently, and everybody will answer each of the questions very differently, which is part of the power of them, right? Like it brings in this diversity of thought, which we know, you know, will influence a team's ability to be really great.
I think this is awesome. And, you know, we do a lot of consulting with sales teams and their sales kickoffs, right? Or their mid-years and employee engagement, you know, employee all hands meetings. And, you know, I just want to say, hey, put them at the table. Easy, right? So leave them at the table. You don't even really facilitate this. If you just want the basic entry point, give them something to talk about that matters.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about that?
Well, I was gonna actually offer a real quick different activity that we could show folks that might
be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah. So if you go back to the deck.
Okay, I'm going back. I'm putting it overhead so people can see. Okay.
And this one's really interesting. I this is one of my favorite ones to do with teams. So if you take, and you don't have to do this with every blue card, but just flip over, you know, half a dozen of them real quick. And while Lisa's doing this, I'll set this up. So the idea here is that you would, instead of putting the blue side up, you would put the question up. So essentially you got all the questions up on a piece of, on a table. Mm-hmm. And so people can see all the questions right away. And so the invitation here, and imagine everybody that's watching, there's all these questions on the table. So the invitation is that each person on the team goes around and grabs a question, but they're grabbing a question that they think is the question that the team needs to be asking itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I'm following you. Yep.
You with me? Okay. Yep. So, and I'll give you an example using what you just flipped over here. So the one of the questions is, what helps you feel bold? So if Lisa and I are on a team and we're doing this activity, I might pull that question about what makes me feel bold and say, you know what? I got to say, guys and gals of this team, I think we really need to be more courageous with our behaviors and how we're going after clients and how we're willing to, you know, break into markets or whatever. So I chose this question because I really want to encourage us to be more courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the question was, what's the last habit you quit? Right. So I might pull that question if I'm on the team, and I might say, you know, I know one of the habits we've gotten out of is having regular meetings. You know, we kind of quit. We quit this habit. We used to meet every week. And when we were doing that, and our productivity and our idea generation and our problem solving was through the roof, but we quit doing that. You know, we quit meeting regularly. So I want to make the vote that we go back, and we're going to have, you know, every Monday we're going to meet for whatever it is. And so I know those are relatively simple examples.
They're great examples, because I pulled three cards. What helps you feel bold? What's the last habit you quit? And the third was, when was the last time you felt inspired and why? Mm. And I want to say, there's so many times, you know, at the executive level, they're like, all the rest of the company's like, what's the vision? What's the strategy? Where are we going? What are we doing? Right. And I think if I'm the one being asked that question, I'm the CEO, CFO, CMO, whatever, that's a great question to remind what inspires you, so that you can then inform yourself to then inspire the mass, the organization and the system. Because so many times they get into these check boxes. Here's my deck, and here's the three things I'm saying, and the heart's not there. Yeah. But if I'm asking the CFO and he's about to go do the Wall Street thing, and we're like, hey, when's the last time you felt inspired and why? And there's a conversation about what is inspiring. Yeah. I gotta think that's gonna be a life-giving exercise for that CFO to get up there and do what they gotta do.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this card. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So that's just a, you know, there's so many different ways to use this, you know. We just talked about too, but, but you tell me, where do you want to go from here?
Well, I want to say, first of all, I want to say thanks for the actual application and making it real for people so that they can see, right? One of the things I know is, of course, we'll put a link for people if they want to get themselves a deck. Mm. And one of the things I know is on the back, you even have 10 more ways to use them. So there's a download too. The reason I wanted to bring this forward in the world of Bonnie and everything that's going on in the tech industry is that I think these are really easy, useful, powerful tools. And right now, some people are like, I don't have budget for a coach, or other teams are like, we don't have budget for team building. And other, you know, there's like, if there's a scarcity mindset inside your organization, I have a feeling you can get a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Right. If you'd like some help facilitating and delivering it, you know, Michael and I do that. That's what we do in the world, right? With the different tools we have. And these are Michael's cards and what Michael does in his business. I just wanted everybody to know that when change happens, like you said, can you explore the complexity of who we are and embrace that everything is connected? And when you think about conscious leadership, which is, I know, something that you and I care deeply about, going back to back without pausing, reflecting, or even asking yourself the question is not the way you're going to ride these waves with success. So I guess what's the call to action for you, or the double dog dare you'd like to give people when it comes to just whether it's your deck or their favorite question, whatever. What's the invitation for leaders right now to just pause and take a few minutes to reflect? Like,
yeah,
how would you guide someone in that
concept? Yeah, I love the double dog dare. I would double dog dare the leaders out there listening to question what they think drives performance.
I love that so much.
Yeah, yep. And dig in, because like we said, you know, I know you know this, Lisa, but like we said, the science is super clear. If you want to know what creates engagement, if you want to know what motivates people, if you want to understand what are the characteristics or qualities or things to do to create a high performing team, it's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, look to thought leaders like, you know, Fred Kaufman or Raj Sisodia, or, you know, the work that Lisa is doing, right? Look to thought leaders like Amy Edmondson, or even Google. You know, Google produced a, I know you know this, Lisa, but produced a research project called Project Aristotle, which asked the question, what are the qualities of the highest performing teams in the world?
Yeah.
And this challenged research from Harvard decades prior, and they found the same answers that Harvard found back in the 90s. And so there's so much evidence to point us to the direction of what we need to do to create high performance as a leader. The answers are there. So my challenge is go dig in, question your assumptions, and go dig into what the literature says. Oh,
so good. So good. Yeah. We call it firm leadership, right? And people are like, firm. I said, oh, it's not command and control. You know, firm is flexible, intuitive, resilient, and mindful.
Yeah.
As a leader, having those aspects in how you show up in the world can get you further to what you're trying to get to than just telling everybody what to do and keep thinking you have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
Just so inspiring. I love this question so much. Ask yourself, what do you think drives performance, and then get curious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to add, Lisa, that I think I'm guessing you're seeing this too. We are at a critical moment in time where that question is even more important. And I'm sure leaders will agree with what I'm going to say, which is it's a critical time period because people are looking for a different kind of workplace environment.
Yes, they are.
And if they're not finding it at your workplace, because you're not supportive of their goals, of their flexibility, of their career trajectory, you know, of creating an environment that's healthy and not toxic, right? That is collaborative and not competitive. They're going to go find the place that is healthy, because there are organizations that are doing this really well. And if we don't catch up as organizational leaders to those, you know, healthy, high performing orgs, our employees are going to go to them. And so the pressure is on, I would say. Would you agree?
A million times. I'm smiling from ear to ear. If you're watching the video, you can read my eyeballs. And if you're listening, you'll hear it in my voice, like, preach. I love it so much, Michael. So one of the things we always do for our guests is we put a song of theirs into our playlist, because one of the things I know is reflection sometimes can come through song lyrics or a melody. So is there a song with this conversation in mind that comes to mind that you'd like to add to our playlist?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's funny. I was on Spotify recently and just kind of like noodling around, you know, and there was an album that resurfaced. You know how that happens sometimes, where like you'll forget that you used to love this album so much, like whatever, a couple decades ago. And so I'll I'll actually recommend an album. Is that okay?
I've never had an album. Let's go.
Well, I could do a song. So there's it's an old album by Pink Floyd, and it's a live album called Pulse.
Okay.
And I say this, it comes to mind because the melody in it is just, I think, so good for reflection. You know, it's a lot of long instrumental. It's slow paced. It's really relaxing. And so that is the album.
So the album is Pink Floyd Pulse.
The artist is Pink Floyd. The album is Pulse.
Oh yes, Pink. I'm sorry. Of course it's Pink Floyd. I know Pink Floyd. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Pink Floyd. The album is the live album Pulse. There's not one song, but the pull through is the melody. Yeah,
if you want one song, I would say Shine On You Crazy Diamond would be the
Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. That's one that comes to mind.
And that's because of the reflection. Is that am I getting
it? Yeah, that's where my mind was. Like, what's a note or a tune that would be helpful for reflection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what.
So even watching your face when you're talking about it, I can't wait to go listen to it because there's like a light underneath when you're talking about it. Like you're already back in the album. Like it's happening, right? Yeah. Totally. Okay, so oh my gosh, we've gone everywhere from thinking about, you know, the complexity of who we are and that everything is connected to practical applications of these amazing cards that were built on your life's work and understanding these seven pillars. We haven't even told people what the pillars are. We haven't even defined the change acronym. Like there's so much more to unpack, but we got right to the heart of it really quick to be of service to the listener, right? So I think when you think about all of the different things we talked about and your double dog dare to ask this question, I think I just want to lean in and say, I absolutely agree with you. And I know that we have this energy about us and what we're trying to do in our client, within our clients and in our communities, but the time is now. Like leadership needs to shift to this collective wisdom unlocking.
Yeah.
And that's where we got to go. And your cards are so great at doing just that. Thank you for those examples.
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. Oh, this has been good. A ton of fun. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So Michael, if people want to find you, I know we have ARC integrated and we'll put all the links in there, but is there anything you want people to LinkedIn or your webpage or where would you like to send people to get in contact if they want to know more?
Yeah. The website's probably good. So it's arcintegrated.com, arcintegrated.com.
Awesome.
And they can find various ways to connect there. I'm always happy to chat with folks.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I WhatsApped. I'm so glad I followed my intuition. I'm so glad I've benefited personally and that we get to do this together to support the community. Thank you for your heart, your spirit. Thank you for your intuition and all of the science that you bring to the conversation. It's just been fabulous.
Yeah, Lisa, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. And I always enjoy connecting with you. So it's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Michael. All right, everybody, don't forget your double dog dare. Ask yourself the question, what do you think drives performance? Reflect on that. That's a key unlocker right there. And then make sure you subscribe to Control Alt Delete with Lisa Durie. Wherever you get your podcasts, please share it with your friends. We don't want to keep this episode a secret. This is really good stuff. Bring it to your team. They need it too. All right, everybody, make it a great day. Thank you.